Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're heard on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara, and we're rebroadcast on A2Zen.fm. And you can go to their website and find out the times and days that that program is broadcast. Today, we're going to talk about health, but in a very interesting way. Have you ever considered your body, the human body, as a filter? Think about it.
Talk with me. Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
You heard me correct. I said filter. After reading this particular book by our author, it was the only thing that I could come up with that was the closest analogous aspect. However, the difference changes when it comes to the filter becoming clogged with gunk. When you get an oil change, the filter is tossed. Your body is a filter, but you don't have to toss the filter. It can be cleansed. We're going to talk about that with my special guest here on the program, the author of Never Feel Old Again. And I have to tell you, Raymond Francis, I have rarely ever felt old, even when I hit 50. I am 54, 2014, and aging is a mistake. You can learn how to avoid it. Fascinating. I know from a biblical standpoint, doctor, that there's writings that say that a man has lived to 900 years. Don't know if I want to go quite that far, but nonetheless, thank you for joining us on the program and sharing your insights.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation. But aging is a huge problem. It is the biggest single problem, biggest social and economic problem facing the world in the 21st century.
Wow.
Wow. And it is threatening to bankrupt all of the industrialized nations. Now, if one nation goes bankrupt, that's bad. But when every industrialized nation goes bankrupt at the same time, that is an economic catastrophe of biblical proportions, and that's exactly where we're headed. Now, the United States, of course, is already bankrupt. We're printing money to pay the bills,
right.
And we're going to print more money to pay the bills because there's simply no money. And that means, ultimately, the inflation. And
yeah.
Inflation is just going to wipe out the middle class, wipe out all the retired people. We are facing an economic catastrophe. Now, if we look at the numbers and we say, well, you know, where's all this coming from? What we find is that most of it is coming from the cost of disease. Now, for example, take Social Security. We can't pay Social Security. We know that. There's no money. We can't pay it. The unfunded liabilities of Medicare are more than six times the unfunded liabilities of Social Security, and we can't pay Social Security. So you see the magnitude of the problem.
Well, it's exponential.
Exponential. And the economists look at this and they say, you know, if we could cut the cost of disease in half, we could make this a manageable problem. Right now, even the Congressional Budget Office says that, you know, the path we're on is economically unsustainable. Unsustainable. We can't do it. We're going to collapse trying to do it.
Mm.
And so if we cut the cost of disease in half, we can take something that is unsustainable and catastrophic and reduce it to something that is manageable. We're not going to solve the problem. We'll make it down into something that's manageable. Well, can we cut the cost of disease in half? And the answer is absolutely yes. It's like falling off a log. It is so simple, so easy to do. But we have to get on and start doing it because nobody is talking about it. You know, nobody's even talking about these problems. Because if you talk about them, well, somebody will expect you to do something about them. Yeah. So the best thing to do is not to talk about them.
Yeah.
So the average person is unaware of the problems we're facing. They don't know how bad the situation is.
Well, and of course, that's exacerbated by our educational system.
Because we're not
being taught how to critically think. We're not
right.
being taught the truths about health and wellness. And again, I go back to that analogy of the oil filter. with the exception of the last part, where, from what I'm understanding, from what you've written, it doesn't matter what age you are, and it doesn't matter what conditions or, and I love the way people do this, I really do, when you talk about disease, dis-ease, when you talk about those things, everything, every condition, every malady and disorder in the human body, if I'm understanding what you've written, is reversible. It's correctable. It's changeable. And this was the way I put this analogy when my wife and I were talking about this over the course of reading the book. If the body is full of toxins, or the filter is full of toxins and sludge, but you keep putting more and more fuel in that is contaminated with toxins and sludge, then the filter can no longer filter properly, ergo the disease disorder. However, if you change the fuel to a healthy, non-toxic formula, then the body can start to filter out the toxins that are in the body ever so slowly. It can happen until eventually you reach, and I've heard this term, help me to clarify it for myself as well as for our listeners. Return us is it homeostasis?
Yes, homeostasis. That means balance. Mm-hmm. Everything's in balance, and the body has to balance thousands of things. It has to balance your blood pressure. It has to balance your temperature. Mm-hmm. Has to balance your sugar levels. Has to, you know, the body balances itself, and when it's doing this correctly, we call that homeostasis. And when you're out of homeostasis, you're unbalanced, and that's what disease is.
Mm-hmm.
Disease is it means not balanced. That's what it means.
Yeah.
And so we do this. Think of it this way. You know, you're talking about the oil filter. We are the sum total of everything that goes into our body.
Hear, hear.
And whether that be the food, the water, the air, the electromagnetic fields, the noise, the thoughts, the emotions, everything that goes into our body, we are the sum total of that. And if it isn't working right, it's because you're putting the wrong stuff in. And that's what we're all doing. The average American is bioaccumulating more than 500 toxic chemicals in their body. I mean, this is catastrophic. You know, how much gook can you put in? Again, the oil filter. How much gook can you put in before the whole thing stops working?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to become aware of that. And that sounds like an awful problem, but it isn't as big a problem as you think, because with a little bit of education, you can reduce your toxic load by about 80%. Now, that's very significant. You can't reduce it all, but you can reduce it by about 80%. That's significant because the body can, the filter does work. The body can detoxify you. It does detoxify you. But when you overload the system, then the toxins start to build up. You cut your toxic load by 80%, you're reducing it down to where the body can handle it. Mm-hmm. And then it's not going to poison you and kill you, which is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
So with a little bit of education, you can know where the toxins are. You know, what kind of toothpaste do you use? What kind of shampoo do you use? Toothpaste is toxic as all get out, but there are safe brands of toothpaste. Use those.
Do you really? All right, let me stop you there. Do you really need toothpaste? Why couldn't I just use the brush and water?
Yes, you can, and maybe a little baking soda would be even better.
Okay. Get a little foamy in the mouth, but that's okay.
Now, no, it really won't foam in the mouth.
No, no, no.
You know, but it's good.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you go through and talk about all kinds of different foods, and I don't want to go too far afield in terms of a lot of the negative stuff. In terms of, we could talk about the GMO, we could talk about milk, we could talk about a lot of specifics. And on milk, and I got to tell you, I love milk. However, after reading your book, after reading that section on milk and what it does to the body in particular, not only in terms of calcium, but also in terms of inflammation. And I, of course, in being in broadcasting, the last thing that you want to drink before you go on the air is a glass of milk, because you get the phlegm, you get, you know, all this kind of other stuff. Mm-hmm. And here's something interesting. A couple of years ago, 2012, December, I had knee surgery because I had torn meniscus. Had nothing to do with my diet, had to do with my activities and where we moved to. And so had that work done. But prior to that, every time I would bump my knee, or even the knee that was fine, or my elbows, they would inflame. And I'd take ibuprofen to bring the inflammation down, and all is well, all is right with the world for a while, until I bumped my knee again. Well, at the time we are speaking, I have not had the quantities of milk, and we're talking about from a pint to a quart or half gallon, and we're talking about in a day or in an afternoon. I have not had those problems. I've banged my ankle. I've twisted it a little when I'm playing with the dog in the backyard. And I always expect, okay, in a couple of days, this is going to swell up. It hasn't happened.
Right. Yeah, we've all been schnookered into believing things that aren't true. And milk does not do a body good. Milk is not a legitimate food. No one should be consuming milk. Nature never intended it. Mother Nature, where in an adult animal, and especially drink the milk of another species, doesn't happen. Mother Nature, look at the chemistry. Of course, I'm a chemist, you know, and when I look at the chemistry, it's like, oh my God, you know, and people don't know this. And then ice cream, oh my God, ice cream is probably, I'll stretch and I'll say, probably the single largest cause of prostate cancer in men. And when people come to me with prostate cancer, the first thing I ask is, do you eat a lot of ice cream? You'd be amazed at how often it's, oh, I love ice cream. I eat it by the pint, you know. And why is that? Because it's loaded with growth hormones.
Mm.
And the growth hormones signal the body to grow. Well, if you're an adult, you don't want to grow anymore, so you start growing cancer is what you do. You know, you've got milk as a product that's designed to take a 50-pound calf and turn it into a 1,500-pound cow in 2 years.
Right.
It's got a lot of growth hormones. Well, when you as an adult start consuming those same growth hormones, you're going to be in trouble. And when you get ice cream, you've concentrated all of those growth hormones in the cream. And now you're getting a huge load of growth hormones. So breast cancer, too, same thing. You know, do not drink milk. Do not eat dairy products. It's not Mother Nature and doesn't want you to do that.
Indeed. Now, again, to those who are just joining us, never feel old again. Aging is a mistake. Learn how to avoid it. My guest is Dr. Raymond Francis, and to me, this kind of information isn't new. This has been around for decades. I've been hearing this kind of stuff. My mother, I give this woman all of the credit in the world for the good health that I do have, because she tried every which way to make sure that we ate well at every meal. She would make a homemade eggnog that we'd have year-round, but it was good stuff. It was healthy. We might even go through a list of things, and I'll ask you, okay, should we be consuming this, that, and the other thing? But I want to get into an issue that my wife and I kind of have gone around or used to go around in circles about. Since reading your book, I want to confirm this, even though we read it, I ask you directly, because anybody can put a label on anything that says whatever they want it to say to convince you to buy it. Where do you stand? What's your perspective on anything and everything that has the label organic?
Well, they're organic. There are now national standards for organic. So if it's USDA organic, then it does meet those national standards.
Okay.
And I encourage people to eat organic as much as possible, because the food is so bad today. Even the organic stuff isn't that great, but the organic stuff is a lot better than the rest of it. So
okay,
as much as possible, I try to eat organic. Okay. And then in my book, I have a list of things that if you can't eat organic, here are the things that have less toxins on them. Here are the things that have more toxins on them. So you can eat these and try to avoid those. For example, apples are really very toxic. So you must have an organic apple. And there's a list of this in Never Feel Old Again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, I really challenge the whole organic thing because when we had chickens here in Santa Barbara and we were feeding them, after checking with the manufacturer, I could tell people, no, they're not organic, but they are all natural. They're free-range eggs because we have them out in the open. They're not caged, at least not as far as putting them like they do in the mass production lines.
Right.
We had an enclosed, if you will, or at least covered, a chicken run that was protecting them from predators, so big birds that could carry them off, that kind of thing. So we were protecting them, but they had open sunlight and shade and bugs and grass, all of the good things that they need to eat. And we're in a rural area of Santa Barbara, so much the better. That was one of the things that I thought, man, the organic industry, it's just about making money, because to get certified, you had to pay several thousand dollars and et cetera, et cetera. And I was skeptical. But the more that I was made aware of what went into the certification process, and the more aware I became through reading what you had to offer in your book about organics, I said, look, it may not be perfect, but if it's better than the other stuff, then it would be better to buy that, which is like
it's a lot better than the other stuff. And they've actually done experiments. They've taken children and they fed one group of children 75% organic foods, and then they fed another group of children 75% regular foods, and the difference in the pesticides in the urine was absolutely astounding. The children that were not eating the organic stuff, they had pesticides that sometimes were like six times what the safety limit is regarded to be. So you get a lot of pesticides, and the organics are definitely a better buy for everybody, and there's more nutrition in them.
Well, I'm learning, and of course my big bugaboo, as all of our listeners know, because I've mentioned this more than I probably should have, or maybe people cared to hear, my biggest addiction was soft drinks, sodas. And I mean, we're talking going back to into my teens and 20s. I actually designed a bicycle cup holder that would hold the 32-ounce cup on the gooseneck of the handlebars so that I could just lift it out, take a sip from the straw, and put it right back there.
Well, you were definitely addicted.
Very much so. Yeah. Now, in the last couple of months, staying off of both milk and sodas, and I was diagnosed with high blood pressure a couple, 3 years ago, but this was prior to my knee surgery. I attributed that to not getting along real well with the real world, the outside world, as well as the pain that I was going through. And again, that it was confirmed by all the tests. There was nothing that indicated that I had high blood pressure after all the tests were done. And yet, every time they took it, it was elevated. And I'm curious about something. Did you hear the latest report that they're going to raise the normal normal blood pressure settings? I believe from 120 over like 80 or 90 to now close to 150 over 90 or 100 or something like that. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't heard about it, but it doesn't surprise me, and I laugh at it. We keep, it's like the schools. The kids can't do, we're teaching them so poorly they can't do the tests, so we dumb the tests down, and then they still do poorly, and then we dumb the tests down again. And it's the same thing with blood pressure. Everybody's blood pressure is going up, so let's raise the normal blood pressure.
Yeah.
And it just gets crazier and crazier.
Well, what about somebody like myself who, and I shared this with my wife, is, look, I'm feeling fine. I've got issues in terms of people doing stupid stuff with their cars, this, that, and the other. But who doesn't? However, what I have noticed, and I had two experiments that I did on myself, 2004, and then, of course, this recent period of time, where for 1 month I stayed off of soft drinks back in 2004, and I went from a 38-inch waist pair of jeans back down to my normal 36s.
Sure.
And I'm shooting for that again. I'm in 38s and a little under 200 pounds. I'm, I think, 5'9". I swore I was 5'11". They measured me again without my shoes, and I'm 5'9". but what I'm noticing is, and I've shared this as well, that I've listened to my body. When I was 15, the thought occurred to me, you know, I look at a lot of the adults all the way up into the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Some of them are still very healthy, and some of them are not doing well. If I start putting the right stuff in now,
right,
then things will be good when I'm in my 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. But what you're saying now is that, and this is not a license to consume whatever you want in your teens, 20s, and 30s, because you can fix it in your 40s and 50s, because that's no fun to do.
No, and you can't fix all of it.
Right, but there is a certain level of reversal of some of these conditions.
Absolutely. You can make somebody 10 years younger within 1 year if they do it right. The best I've ever done, I made one man 20 years younger in 1 year. But you can do 10 years younger very easily in 1 year if you do it right. But the whole problem is that we're putting the wrong stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And sugar is absolutely, sugar makes your blood pressure go up. So if you eat sugar, your blood pressure is going to go up. I mean, it's just as simple. That's the way it works. So if your blood pressure is high, get off of the sugar. Get off of the grains. The grains are doing the same thing as the sugar, especially the white flour, which, you know, it's very quickly metabolized, and people eat it. The average person eats 200 pounds of white flour per year, and that makes your blood pressure go up, and it makes your insulin go up, and does so, you know, it's deadly stuff.
Mm. Well, then that's my next step. I've cut out the soft drinks. My doctor actually suggested seltzer water because I like the fizz. I like the feeling of that in my mouth and going down my throat. And so I investigated and I thought, okay, well, what about club soda and tonic water? Well, I looked at the ingredients and sodium is not in seltzer water. Matter of fact, all the nutritional information there, they're all zeros because it's just water and CO2. But tonic water and club soda have sodium.
Right.
Now, what about the combination of sugar and sodium or salt as far as our diets? Do they work together in a detrimental fashion in our bodies, or are they pretty much independent? They're both
everything is synergistic in the body. And if you're eating sugar and if you're eating excessive amounts of sodium, it's going to be a double whammy. There's no question of that.
Okay.
And again, the average American is eating sugar. The average American is eating too much salt because the salt is loaded in all the processed foods. And it's very detrimental. And we need to start, you know, you are the sum of everything you put into your body.
Yes.
And it's just that nobody has ever taught us what we should be putting into the body and what we should not. And that's why I write my books and Never Feel Old Again. It tells you, you know, aging, the way we're aging is a mistake. Aging is a mistake. You know, what we associate aging with diseases like Alzheimer's and osteoporosis and arthritis and cancer. Nonsense. All of these diseases we have created. These are all new diseases. We've created them. We are creating them. And we can stop creating them, and then they'll all go away. You'll still have some, but a little tiny bit here and there. But right now, epidemic, absolutely epidemic. Almost half the population now is going to get cancer in their lifetime. I mean, that's incredible. Alzheimer's is going up like crazy. We have to put a stop to this. It doesn't have to be that way. It's the sum total of what you're putting into your body.
The infrastructure is not going to help us, so we have to do this on our own, it sounds like.
Yeah, we do. We do. And the thing is that the infrastructure isn't going to continue to pay for disease because we're going bankrupt trying to pay for it. So we can't pay for it, and we're all going to be on our own pretty soon. I mean, at the way things are going. So what we need to do is take personal responsibility for our health and educate ourselves. The good news is this. We have the technology. The knowledge exists on how to take care of yourself so you will not get sick.
Mm.
Now, if that knowledge didn't exist, we could all say, oh, more research, more research. No, yeah. No. We don't need to do another dime's worth of research to end this epidemic because we already know it all.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need is it for you, the individual, to learn it. And when you do, the power is so unbelievable. And look at me, you know, at age, as you know, if you read the book, you know, at age 48, my death was a medical certainty.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to die. The doctors said nothing could save me.
Oh, I love that.
Age 48.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm age 77. I function like somebody in their 20s. I have the arteries of somebody in their 20s. I have boundless energy. I never get sick. In the past 28 years, I've had two health problems, just two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, find me a 28-year-old who's had only two health problems in 28 years. I've had two. I had two colds.
Oh, my.
And
that's shameful.
I have a very good excuse for the two colds.
Okay.
Because it's inexcusable to have a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you never recover from it. It is a very deadly disease. You have a cold. You never, ever recover from it because it does genetic damage. So it does damage to your operating system. And if you know anything about computers,
yeah.
you have an operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put glitches into the operating system. And if you put enough glitches into it, pretty soon you're going to need a new computer or a new operating system.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
It's the same thing with you. You have an operating system. And when you put glitches into it, that's what aging's all about. And that's what we're doing. Every time you have a cold, you do genetic damage, permanent genetic damage, that puts glitches into your operating system. So having a cold is not acceptable. And and you don't have to do it. It's just so simple to avoid them. I had two. They were unavoidable. So those are the only health problems I've had in 28 years, and I function like somebody in their 20s, and I'm in my late 70s. Anybody can do this.
Yeah.
You just have to learn how.
My father will be 83 this year, and I think my mother will probably be 79 or 80, and they're doing great. They're still moving around, going exercising every day at the gym and doing this and that and the other, traveling about from time to time. Sometimes they'll come out and see us here in California, which is nice. And I have to say that I have observed folks over the years, as I have grown, as I have aged, just as far as the chronology, as far as the clock is concerned, and there are men that I would look at and I'm going, oh my God. And these are the guys, these are the old guys walking around, maybe with a cane, maybe not, and they're hunched over. I have to tell you, and we need to talk about this a little bit as well, that my observations are the youth of today are going to be these old men hunched over walking around because it has less to do with their diet and more to do with their posture when they're walking because they're walking and texting.
Well, they may not even be walking. They're probably going to be dead. Our young people today are so old, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
We're measuring 30-year-olds with the biological markers of 80. Now, here I am, a 77-year-old. I've got biological markers of people in their 20s. We're measuring 30-year-olds with the biological markers of 80. A few years ago, we measured a group of overweight 10-year-olds. They measured with the biological markers of 45. Now, if you're 45 years old when you're 10, what are you going to be when you're 50?
Oh.
Yeah, and this is the first generation of American children that will not outlive their parents. This is a catastrophic situation. Who's going to pay for all this? Who's going to take care of all these people?
Yeah.
We have to have a national program to educate people on how to get well, stay well, and not be sick.
Wow. It's astounding. Now, I know in years gone by, and it's, I think, before your time as well, that doctors used to take chickens and pies and hens and things of this nature or furniture in exchange for the work that they did. As a matter of fact, I'm hearing more and more of this going on where, Dr. Francis, I got this condition I need you to look at. What do you need? And there would be a trading system because on the universal level, there is always an exchange. You cannot escape it. It's a universal law. Ergo, if I share something with you of my experience, of my skills and abilities, then in turn, you would do the same, or vice versa. You take care of my broken leg, and you have a hole in your roof. I'm good at construction. I'll come. I'll fix the hole in your roof. That kind of stuff. And I see that happening more and more. So, you know, you talk about who's going to pay for this. And if we're on our own, in a manner of speaking, because the infrastructure really isn't going to support us in this because it's not in their best interest, then it seems to me like that's kind of where we're headed. And matter of fact, we're also headed towards a break here, and I want to pause because I want people to pick up a copy of your book because I think that it's great information. They need to know about it. Never feel old again. Aging is a mistake. Learn how to avoid it. My guest is Dr. Raymond Francis, and we're going to continue talking about these things, and I want you to stay right where you are because I think this is important stuff here on this program. Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true, but the dreams aren't going to come true if you're ailing. So we encourage you to stay with us. There's more to come, and if you're listening to the radio broadcast, we're going to have even more in the after view. So stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I am your host, Richard Dugan. My guest today is Dr. Raymond Francis, and we are talking about aging. We're talking about, of course, his book, as we always tend to do. We talk about the authors who have brought us information. Never feel old again. Aging is a mistake. Learn how to avoid it. And we encourage you to check that out. I'm sure it's available at Amazon and all the fine outlets online, as well as in bookstores throughout the country. That will, I'm sure, order it for you as well. And by the way, for folks who would like to get more information about you, tell us what your website is.
It's beyondhealth.com. Two words stuck together, beyond, B-E-Y-O-N-D, health, H-E-A-L-T-H.com. And by the way, if you like the kind of information you're getting, go to beyondhealth.com. And right on the front page, you can sign up for a free weekly newsletter, where you get this kind of high-quality, advanced scientific information on a regular basis, free of charge. Just go to beyondhealth.com and sign up for that free newsletter.
And I'll tell you what, we offer all of our information on our website for free. We also don't reinvent the wheel, so we will have a link to beyondhealth.com so that folks can go straight there while they're listening to this interview and start to research, get that newsletter, and find more information. Even though we here on the program, Doctor, we don't sit here and say, you know, I am in full support. I'm on Dr. Raymond Francis' side. I'm promoting him beyond belief. No. What I will say is that I want us all to be healthy, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, because that's the only way that we're going to raise the consciousness around the world. That's the only way that we're going to move on to finding those new ways of living. But you can't live those new ways if you're in poor health. And that's why this program is, I think, so important for all of us to listen to and to glean from. Take what you need for yourself. You know, I don't need everything that's written in the book, but I've already found two things that I need to work on. I think I've been pretty successful as far as the milk issue is concerned. But in terms of sugar, and I've stayed away from sodas, but there's sugar in darn. I'd heard, correct me if I'm wrong, first of all, how beneficial or how detrimental is regular iodine salt, like Morton salt, versus sea salt?
Well, the sea salt has more minerals in it than the regular salt. The regular salt is more closer to 100% sodium chloride, whereas sea salt has other minerals in it. And so from that standpoint, it's better for you.
Okay. But again, you still want to minimize your consumption of salt.
Yes, you want to minimize the consumption of salt because we eat, the average American eats far, far too much of it, and that disrupts your chemistry. Again, balance. There's something in, we talked about balancing the temperature and balancing mm-hmm. blood pressure and balancing, well, the body balances what we call the sodium-potassium ratio. And this is a very important part of your chemistry, is balancing the sodium-potassium ratio. Well, today we're eating tons of sodium and too little potassium, and so we've disrupted the sodium-potassium ratio, and this has huge implications because it screws up your batteries, it screws up a lot of chemistry. Every cell is a little battery. I mean, you're really a battery-operated electronic device.
Yes.
And you run on batteries. Your heart beats. It's what makes the heart beat? Electrical signal that comes from your batteries.
Mm-hmm.
We're battery operated devices. When you screw up the sodium potassium ratio by eating too much sodium and not enough fresh fruits and vegetables, you screw up your batteries, and now you need to get a pacemaker. You need to, all kinds of bad things happen when you screw up your batteries.
Yeah. Now, sugar. There are all kinds of sugar, and I had heard it said that if you stuck with pure cane sugar, that was better than any of the other products on the market. Of course, now there's all kinds of natural alternatives like stevia and so on and so on and so on. What about that aspect? And I will tell you right now that I have already gone on the warpath as far as aspartame, or what used to be called Equal or NutraSweet. I did an interview in 83 with a nutritional expert, and I point blank asked her, so you're telling me that all of the testing is done and this is perfectly safe? And of course, her answer was yes.
Oh,
well,
dear.
In 93, I interviewed a funeral parlor operator, mortician, and I asked him, so what's changed in your industry in the last 8 to 10, 15 years? He says, well, I have been using less and less formaldehyde to embalm the bodies. And he says it's because people are ingesting this aspartame, the chemical name aspartame, which converts to formaldehyde in the body. So we're embalming ourselves.
Yes. And that makes you last longer.
Yeah. In the
but
grave.
But it also gives you cancer and,
right.
and wrecks a lot of your other chemistry.
Exactly.
It's crazy. We're putting this junk into us. And for that person to say that aspartame was safe is totally, unbelievably irresponsible. Because if they had really been knowledgeable, they'd have known it wasn't. In fact, there was a great deal of controversy over it at the time.
Oh, yeah.
When the FDA was going to approve it. And then what they did is the FDA said, okay, we're gonna constitute a panel of expert scientists to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
So they did. They constituted the panel. The panel came back and said, no, don't approve this. It's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? They immediately approved it.
Yeah.
And the guy who was in charge of approving it, then quit the FDA and went got a job with the law firm that was representing the aspartame. And his assistant went and got a job with the advertising firm that was. The whole thing was unbelievable. It was just fraudulent.
I can taste aspartame in things. So if somebody gives me a drink and it's not diet, and it doesn't have to be labeled as a diet for aspartame to be used, I can taste that chemical in that product. And it's, no. And I remember I go quite often, like to Whole Foods, which is one of our stores here. We have several natural food places. They get their produce from the farms around the area, which is fantastic. And I thought, oh, this is an interesting juice. I like this. And of course, I bought a bottle of it and I started drinking. Well, this tastes funny. I immediately flipped to the back of the ingredients label, and in there was aspartame. And I thought, oh, wow.
Deadly
all right,
stuff.
Let's shift from that specific item to all of the plethora of different sugars that are out there. And if you're going to have sugar in your diet, or let's say a sweetener, what is your recommendation from worst to best?
Well, the sweetener right now that's probably the safest would be the stevia, and that's it's generally available now in health food stores as stevia. If you want to eat a sugar, then eat unrefined cane sugar.
Okay.
And
easy to find.
There used to be a brand, I think Sukuna was the brand. but unrefined. In other words, no refining whatsoever. You just, it's sugarcane juice and you evaporate it. That's probably the safest.
Mm-hmm.
But sugar is not safe for you. It's not good for you. And we're all, the average American is addicted to sugar because
Oh, yeah.
We've been given it from you know, childhood. And really, they used to put sugar in baby food, and the kids become addicted even as an infant.
Yeah.
It is a deadly poison. And if you look at the chemistry, it is so scary. I don't touch the stuff. I don't even want to be in the same room with sugar. It is so scary when you look at the chemistry of what happens to you. One teaspoon of sugar is like a 100-car pileup out on the freeway. I mean, imagine a 100-car pileup, you know, with all the broken glass and the fluids, you know, the radiator fluid all and broken everything and people injured and fires. That's what happens to you when you eat one teaspoon of sugar. Well, how many of those 100-car pileups are you going to, you know, the body can only do that so often, and then it's going to have a bad effect.
Right. And I had even heard, and this is going back 20 or 30 years, I had even heard that they were putting sugar in the salt.
Well,
I mean,
I haven't heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised either.
They put it in everything. Yeah, and we laugh, but it's not funny.
Yeah.
Sugar is a deadly poison. Sugar causes virtually any disease. Man, you just name any disease, and sugar either causes that disease or contributes to that disease.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar is probably the single largest cause of Alzheimer's. Sugar causes diabetes. Sugar contributes enormously to cancer. Sugar causes, you know, it just goes on and on. It is absolutely one of the most deadly substances anybody is exposed to on a daily basis. And if it were a new product today, it could never, ever get FDA approval. Never. And it should be outlawed. It should, at the very least, it should become a controlled substance. We don't allow children to buy tobacco. We don't allow children to buy alcohol. Well, alcohol and tobacco are really, really safe compared to sugar, and we allow children to buy sugar. Why?
That's a very good question. And I think there would be those listening who would maybe disagree with you as far as the FDA not approving it today, because people,
it's a corrupt organization.
Well, exactly. It's like they're not on our side. Again, they're part of the infrastructure that is not there to support our better health any more than the insurance companies and other parts of the infrastructure as well.
The FDA is totally out of control and is a corrupt organization.
Yeah.
It should be abolished.
You know, the conversation that we're having here, I think, is extremely important for people. But I'm curious, in your practice and in your experience over the years, 70-plus years, what is it that you have found that seems to, and again, I know everybody's different. We acknowledge that here on this program regularly, that everybody grows at different rates, learns at different rates and different styles, et cetera, and likes different things in terms of food and beverage and what have you, and environment. What is it that you have found that seems to get through to people, and it's at that point that they start to make those kinds of changes in their lives for better health?
Well, I'll tell you, for the most part, it's people who are sick and looking for answers. The healthy people think they're healthy. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
Really aren't interested. They don't want to do anything. They're doing just fine. When you're doing fine, all of your chemistry is working right. Well, less than 1% of the American population has all that chemistry working right. So, you know, virtually everybody is sick to one degree or another, and more than 75% of us have a diagnosable chronic disease, whether that disease be cancer or diabetes or allergies. More than 75% of the population has a diagnosable chronic disease. So we're not healthy. And it's getting worse every year. Cancer is going to affect almost half the population now will get cancer in their lifetime. And this is an extremely rare disease historically, extremely rare disease. One out of 1,000, That's how rare it was, 1 out of 1,000. Now it's almost 500 out of 1,000. This is an out-of-control epidemic. We're creating it. We have to stop doing that.
I've been asking this question for over 30 years whenever I do interviews regarding health and the issue of cancer comes up. Can you tell me what we called it before we called it cancer?
Well, I think doctors historically didn't know how to diagnose. They didn't have the tools to diagnose things, so they may have called it, God knows, any number of names before we started calling it cancer. But when we look back historically, what we call cancer today affected maybe 1 out of 1,000 people. And now it's affecting almost 500 out of 1,000. And cancer is a simple to cure, very simple to cure. There's no reason to have cancer. It's simple to prevent. It's simple to cure. But we have an entire industry, multi-hundred-billion-dollar industry, that is dependent on people having cancer and not getting cured from their cancer. It just keeps coming back.
I have a dear friend who takes the same tack, but she approaches it from more of the financial aspect. She says any nonprofit organization like the American Cancer Society that she named that spends 90% of every 90 cents of every dollar on administrative costs is totally ineffective and doesn't care that they're ineffective.
No interest in curing cancer.
Right.
They don't.
They'd be out of business.
Yeah, they'd be out of business. And the same thing with the National Cancer Institute, and the same thing with cancer research. You know, Linus Pauling said most cancer research is a fraud. And it is. We spend hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, and what it is, it's a jobs program. The research goes nowhere. Just goes nowhere. Mm-hmm. They go around in circles. We already know how to cure cancer. You don't need to do more research, but they keep doing more research. But we already know how to cure cancer, and it's not that. I wrote a whole book on it, Never Fear Cancer Again. It's a how to prevent and reverse cancer. It's a whole book. It tells you people read that book with terminal cancer, and they go home and cure themselves. I just met a man. He told me he had 26 lesions in his body. He had melanoma, 26 lesions, rapidly growing. The doctors told him there was nothing that medical science could do for him. Go home and die. Contact hospice. He went home, bought my book, went home, cured his melanoma. All the cancer is gone. He's happy as a clam.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so maybe we should talk a little bit more about that in terms of the cure. I mean, is this something, because I remember many of the health professionals that I've interviewed over the years, a lot of times they have to be very careful the way they phrase things or they'll get sued by the FDA or the American Medical Association and can't call this a cure. It will help. It's beneficial for whatever, you know, but they could never use the word cure.
Right, exactly. It's illegal to do that. And they come after you because they don't want it cured. They don't want people to know there's a cure. And so they try to harass you and disable you, especially if you're a doctor, a medical doctor. They'll take your license away. But the cure exists. It is, and there's no such thing as cancer. I mean, you start with that.
Yeah.
What there is, we're all made of these little tiny units of life called cells. We all started life as one cell in our mother. And so that's what it's all about. It's about cells. When you have a large number of cells that are malfunctioning, you're going to be sick. If all your cells are functioning normally, you can't be sick. You're healthy. That's what health is. And so we say, oh, cancer is this monster. No. Cancer is just a large number of cells that are malfunctioning in a certain way. And all you have to do is fix them so they no longer malfunction, and then the cancer goes away.
I remember also talking with an oncologist once about the characteristics of a cancer cell. And your point, well taken, and I acknowledge that information. But I was asking the oncologist about the characteristics of the regenerative properties of cancer cells, and is anybody studying ways in which to incorporate the regenerative properties of cancer cells in terms of regenerating organs or limbs and this kind of thing. Can you address any of that as far as, are you aware of any research along those lines, or is that a futile effort? Because
I am not aware of any. That's not to say that there isn't any,
sure.
But I'm not aware of any.
But your method is a regenerative process in and of itself.
Well, my method is to restore those cells to health.
Right.
They are malfunctioning mm-hmm. because they're deficient and toxic, and they either need to be killed, which they commit suicide, by the
right.
way. You don't need to kill them. They commit suicide if you do it right. And so the cancer cell will either get well, restore itself to normal function, or it will kill itself, and either way, you win.
Right.
But right now, see, we think cancer is a thing,
mm-hmm.
and the doctor tries to get rid of the thing. He's going to poison the thing to death with chemotherapy. They're going to remove the thing with surgery.
Right.
They're going to burn the thing with radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong, wrong, and wrong. Cancer is not a thing. Cancer is a biological process.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a production line and an automobile production line. Out the other end of the line comes a car. And so you can destroy the car,
right?
But the production line is still running, so you're going to get another car.
Right.
And it's the same thing with cancer. Cancer is not a thing. It cannot be destroyed, cannot be cut out, burned out, poisoned out, because the production line is still running, and you're just going to get another one. And this is what happens. People go for surgery and chemotherapy,
right.
and you know, a couple of years later, the cancer is back. So they just produce more.
It's a process, so, is what it is.
It's a process.
Yeah.
You need to shut down the process.
Shut down the process.
Yeah, and we know how to do that.
Let me ask you about the side effects of attempting to eradicate the cancer, the thing, and its adverse effects on the body. There's somebody who, has a pacemaker. Now, the pacemaker was put in because they have a second-degree heart block. Like, I know what this is about. And they've had this pacemaker in for 7 years. Now, the pacemaker was put in because the heart was adversely affected by the chemotherapy that was used to kill the cancer that they went in and surgically removed, but they wanted to make sure they got it all. Can this pacemaker ever be removed safely?
Yeah, absolutely, yes, because the pacemaker is there because the electrical system isn't working right. You need to fix the electrical system. You need to restore the batteries. And that's why people get cancer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is a low-voltage disease.
Okay.
And that means your batteries are down. Your batteries are screwed up. And it's a low-voltage disease. And then when your voltage is low, you don't give proper signals to the heart. So what you need to do to cure the cancer and to restore the heart to proper beating, you need to improve the batteries. And we know how to do that.
Tell me, how do we, in the big picture, but also maybe more on specifics, what are your recommendations for helping to improve the batteries?
Well, for one thing, you need to eat the right oils, because the cell membrane is very important to the proper operation of the battery. Every American is eating the wrong oils. We go to the supermarket and we buy canola oil and soybean oil and safflower oil and corn oil and, you know, all of these supermarket oils.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the wrong oil. So if you have cancer or if you're sick in any way, you need to change your oil.
To
essential fatty acids, flaxseed oil and fish oil. So you need to change to essential fatty acids.
Essential
fatty acids. Correct oils into the cell membranes.
Okay.
Then we eat too much salt.
Okay.
And you screw up the sodium-potassium ratio. And the sodium-potassium ratio is critical to producing the voltage in the cell. You've got to get your sodium-potassium ratio back. These are just two simple things. Quality of your batteries, but cancer, you're healthy. If your voltage is down, you're going to get sick. If your voltage is really down, you're going to get cancer. And if your voltage is gone, well, so are you.
Okay. And obviously, the internet's a great place to go to find out what the types of more specific types of oils and foods and so forth to help to contribute to the phrase I used earlier, homeostasis or balance. We encourage you to do that. Or in addition to going to beyondhealth.com, that's beyondhealth.com. That is Dr. Raymond Francis' website. Also the book, Never Feel Old Again, Aging is a Mistake, Learn How to Avoid It. And as I said at the beginning of the program, I'm in my, I guess I could say I'm in my mid-50s. I'll be 54 this year. And there are times when I still feel internally like that 17 or 18 year old, although my body, I have to acknowledge that my body is not 17 or 18 years old and it functions a little differently. But that raises the question that you have kind of alluded to as far as the answer, that my body could be at that level again, even though I'm in my 50s.
That's right. Absolutely, yes. See, there's a difference between your chronological age and your biological age. Here I am chronologically 77, but biologically my arteries are in the 20s. And that's where you want to be. You want to keep your chronological age, your biological age, much younger than your chronological age. And that's not what's happening. We've got these 30-year-olds with the biological markers of 80.
Wow.
What you want is an 80-year-old with the biological markers of 30. That's what you want.
What does this also do to our ability to learn how to think? Not what to think, but how to think, especially in grammar school, junior high, secondary, post-secondary, etc.?
Well, huge, because if the brain, again, is made out of cells. If all the cells in the brain are working normally and functioning at high level, you can learn, think, and remember better. When your cells are not functioning that way, when your voltage is down, then you can't learn, think, and remember as well. And we're seeing this in our schools today. The kids can barely, you talk to retired teachers, and they're just dismayed at the level at which the kids are learning today versus what they used to be before when these people first started to be teachers.
Mm. And, of course, the slippery slope that a lot of people like to use is very real in this instance because, it's not a question of the educational system being dumbed down. It's the students that are
in it. The students are dumbed down.
They're dumbed down.
Their brains are dumb. We have created an environment that's filled with neurotoxins.
Wow.
For example, we put fluoride in the water and we feed this water to children. Well, we've done studies. You go to a city that is not fluoridated versus a city that is fluoridated, and the fluoridated city will have children with IQs on average 10 points lower. 10 points lower. That's incredible. And we're doing this.
Now, I know that when we take statistics like that, you can point to the fluoridated water and you can point to the different communities with and without. At the same time, there is no separation. Everything is interconnected and we are interconnected. And so it's not that I don't accept what you're saying, but it's like I know that there are other factors involved as well.
No question. There are other factors involved, but the fluoridation of the water is a measurable factor.
Okay. So, after all this being said, in the hour that we've been talking, does Dr. Raymond Francis have hope for humanity and our future?
I do, because I think, human beings always tend to muddle through somehow. but the problem is that they often have, some periods where, you live through the dark ages before you get to the light.
Yeah.
And my fear is that we're beginning to enter into the dark ages because we've really screwed it up so badly. And we may have to hit bottom before we realize what we've done and start turning it around.
Well, I know that every time I go into the clinic where my wife works, I go up to the third floor and I immediately toss myself into this little closet area, doesn't have a door on it, where they have the electronic scale. And for a week I did that. And I found a very strange phenomenon. When I weighed myself when I dropped her off in the morning, I was literally 4 pounds lighter than I weighed myself in the afternoon. And this went on for 4 or 5 days, and I thought, this is strange. But then, of course, someone said, well, yeah, but did you have lunch and drinking water, so on and so forth? Oh, I didn't even, why didn't I think of that? And then I've also heard, too, that if you weigh yourself, say, on a Sunday night or Monday morning, you're going to weigh lighter than if you weighed yourself on a Friday or Saturday afternoon because you've gone through this week and you've done all these different things. Fortunately, what I've also noticed over the course of the last couple of months is that I've dropped about 3 or 4 pounds, which is exactly what I want to do by staying off of the soft drinks to start with. I'm working on the sugar thing, too. It's slow, but I'm working on it. I found out, too, through your book as well, doesn't make any difference if it's brown sugar. It's still sugar.
Still sugar. I weigh the same as I weighed when I was 20 years old. I'm slim and trim, literally I'm functioning like somebody in their 20s. And I'm in my late 70s. Anybody can do that. Anybody can learn how to do it. But you are the sum of everything you put into your body, including and your connection to spirit. You're the sum of that. And you can, not completely, but all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a fanatic. Most people today are doing most things wrong most of the time, and it's literally killing us. Turn it around. Do most things right most of the time. You don't have to do everything right. Do most things right. It's like a miracle. It just turns everything around. I don't do everything right all the time. I can't. Nobody can today.
Doing the best we can. Yeah, but we do the best we can with the information that we're given.
Right.
Yeah. And that's I think, what my mother was doing when she was raising the six of us was, and my father, just doing the best they can with the information they had at the time. And quite honestly, the information they had back then in the 60s and 70s was no different than it is today. We didn't have a lot of the other chemical things like aspartame or NutraSweet until the 80s, but the message was still the same. And I have to say that when I started working my very first job, which was as a paperboy, the money that I spent, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, went to sodas, went to sugared cereals like the Captain Crunch, you know, and that kind of thing. And I remember my father coming into the bedroom once, and there I was with that box, and he says, "You're going to turn into a butterball if you're not careful." Thank God I didn't. I'm not overweight. I'm not obese. I just, 5-10 pounds, and I'd feel better. My body will function better. And so, by the way, my wife made an incredible shepherd's pie for St. Patrick's Day this year from all organic and natural ingredients. And when I was eating it, I'm going, this is missing something. She didn't use any salt. And so I was actually tasting the vegetables and the meat that she chose, and the potato and the little bit of cheese that she chose to use.
Right.
Again, we little at a time. And then she made it again, only she added a few more ingredients. Again, she didn't add salt. And someone would say, "Well, man, that's got to be bland." I said, "No, because the more I ate it, the more I tasted the actual food."
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
It's almost as if, what is wrong with enjoying the food the way that it is?
Amen.
Yeah. Before we wrap up the program, and by the way, I have a dear friend in Phoenix, Arizona, who is approaching 90 and still just doing phenomenal. A dear friend of ours lived across the street from us when we lived in Phoenix, and we actually celebrated, the three of us, my wife and he and I, even though long distance, an anniversary of having met on the three of us met on the same day. And he's doing really well and having a great time in his life. First of all, I want to mention the book, Never Feel Old Again, Aging is a Mistake, Learn How to Avoid It. The website, beyondhealth.com, beyondhealth.com. Final questions for you, doctor, before we let you go. Who is Raymond Francis?
Well, Raymond Francis is somebody who has dedicated his life to improving the health of the American people. Because when I got sick, and I was able to save my own life with my knowledge of biochemistry, I realized that anybody else in my condition would not have, they would have died because they didn't have the knowledge to help themselves. And I started to help myself, and I saved my life, and I started to improve my health. And I looked back on it, and I said, people need to know about this. And I literally, in one day of 1991, I resigned from everything that I was doing. I was even on the board of directors of a hospital. I resigned from everything and devoted the remainder of my life to improving the health of the American people. And that's what I've been doing since 1991, and I'm still working at it.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Well, right now, I want to save our country. Our country is bankrupt. It is going to go completely bankrupt unless we get a handle on the cost of disease. And the only way we can do that is to teach people how not to get sick. If they're not sick, there's no expenses. And being sick is not fun to begin with. It's not a good thing. But we're bankrupting the country. We're really literally destroying the country with the cost of disease. And the entire industrialized world is going bankrupt. I mean, I've attended economic meetings on this, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's doing anything about it. Every government is paralyzed because what they need to do is draconian. So they're unwilling to do anything. What we need to do is teach people how to be healthy, and we can solve the problem.
Who inspires you?
Ultimately, God.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I've had some spiritual experiences when I was sick, and no one could help me, and I was going downhill like a rock. I had a very incredible experience one day, and this voice came out of nowhere, booming, absolutely booming voice, said, "You will get well."
He was telling you this.
You will get well. You will get completely well. That was the message, and I was just stunned. I had no idea where that came from. And lo and behold, I was able to make myself well and restore my health and go on to teach others how to do the same. And so that's what drives me. That's what inspires me. I am deeply, deeply concerned about the direction our country is going in and the problems we're having. And one way to solve it is to stop people from getting sick.
You know, we didn't even get into the issue on a global level as far as other countries. And I'm wondering if you cringed every so often when you would hear the term or the phrase that we're going to export democracy and the American way of life to other countries.
Yeah, well, good luck. We're not doing too well in the Crimea or in Syria or any place else. We need to first and foremost get ourselves healthy and help other people get healthy. People who are not healthy are violent. We know this. I mean, we can look through the diet of the prisoners, and the violence goes way down.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we need to think about these things, but we don't.
Absolutely. I tell you what, it is a pleasure to have gotten to know you, both through your book as well as here on the program, and I thank you so much for taking this time and sharing with us, and I look forward to talking with you again in the near future, and hopefully we'll have maybe a little bit better news on the home front as far as how we are doing as a people, as a country. And hopefully, again, as we as individuals take the reins of our own health, we can achieve that.
Absolutely can. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you today. You're doing a great job for your listeners. Great show.
So. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye now.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.